Every day your body and your mind are speaking to you. Sometimes they whisper, a little fatigue in the afternoon, a slight tension in your chest, a racing thought you can't quiet. Other times they scream, burnout, chronic pain, anxiety that steals your sleep. The truth is, healing isn't something that just happens over time. It's not a matter of waiting for your mind to get calmer or your body to get stronger. Healing is a choice you make daily and a practice you commit to for life. A healthy body and a healthy mind are not separate. They are one system, and your brain is the bridge between them. Think about it. Every thought you have sends signals to your body. Every meal you eat changes your brain chemistry. Every habit you repeat shapes the way you feel, the way you think, and the way you live. If you want a calm mind, you have to start by taking care of the brain that creates your thoughts. If you want a strong body, you have to start by feeding it the mental clarity and emotional balance it needs to perform at its best. The problem is, most people try to fix themselves in isolation. They'll work out, but keep a toxic mindset. They'll meditate, but eat food that leaves them sluggish and inflamed. They'll read self-help books, but scroll for hours through content that destroys their attention span. And then they wonder why they still feel stuck. Healing isn't about doing one good thing. It's about aligning everything: your sleep, your nutrition, your mindset, your environment, your daily rituals. Each one is a piece of the same puzzle. If you look around, you'll see that we're living in a strange contradiction. We have more access to health information than any generation in history. Yet rates of depression, anxiety, and burnout are higher than ever. We've traded deep conversations for dopamine hits from a phone screen. We've replaced slow, nourishing meals with fast, empty calories. We've forgotten that a healthy mind is not built in moments of crisis. It's built in the micro choices we make when life feels normal. The Stoics used to say, "We suffer more in imagination than in reality," and modern science agrees. Your brain can either be your healer or your destroyer, depending on how you train it. You can program it to focus on what strengthens you, or you can let it spiral into what drains you. But here's the good news. You have far more control over this process than you've been led to believe. You can rebuild your brain's resilience, rewire your thought patterns, and restore your body's energy. And you don't need an expensive retreat or a perfect life to do it. You need consistent, intentional action. This episode isn't about quick fixes. It's not about chasing happiness in random bursts. It's about learning the daily disciplines that make your brain sharper, your body stronger, and your emotions steadier. It's about identifying the habits that silently damage your mental health, replacing them with ones that repair and strengthen you, and understanding how each small decision compounds over time. It's about loving your body and mind enough to treat them as the most valuable assets you have, because they are. So, as we go through today's journey, I want you to imagine your mind and your body as teammates. Neither one can win without the other. You can't run on an empty mind, and you can't think clearly in a broken body. Everything is connected, and the sooner you start treating it that way, the faster your healing will accelerate. By the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what to do every day to build that connection stronger, protect it from the hidden dangers around you, and use it to create a life of real energy, peace, and fulfillment. This is not about waiting for healing to come. This is about becoming the healer of your own life, starting today. A healthy mind starts with a healthy brain. Every thought you've ever had, every decision you've ever made, every dream you've ever chased, they all began in the same place, your brain. It is the control center for everything you feel and everything you do. Yet, Most people treat their brain like it's an invisible, indestructible machine that can run endlessly without maintenance. They worry about their heart health, their weight, their skin, but the brain? It's often ignored until something goes wrong. And by the time we feel the symptoms, brain fog, forgetfulness, lack of focus, mood swings, the damage has often been building for years. If you've ever tried to think positive when your mind feels heavy or unmotivated, you know how hard it is. That's because your mind, your thoughts, emotions, creativity, is only as strong as the brain that produces them. You cannot expect clear thinking from a brain that is starved of nutrients. You cannot expect emotional balance from a brain that is inflamed from processed food, chronic stress, and poor sleep. And you cannot expect to make wise, life-changing decisions if your brain is drowning in constant overstimulation. Science is clear on this. A healthy brain is the foundation of mental well-being. Neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to rewire itself, means you have the power to strengthen and even rebuild parts of your brain throughout your life. But neuroplasticity doesn't happen in chaos. It thrives in an environment of nourishment, rest, and intentional challenge. That means your lifestyle isn't just affecting your physical health. It's literally shaping the architecture of your brain. The Stoics might not have known the science of neurons and synapses, but they understood the principle. They taught that clarity of thought requires discipline of life. Marcus Aurelius wrote about keeping the mind free from disturbance and clear from the fog of passion. Today, we can see exactly why that matters. Chronic stress, emotional overload, and constant distraction flood the brain with stress hormones, shrinking areas responsible for memory, self-control, and emotional regulation. In other words, the modern lifestyle is designed to keep your brain in survival mode rather than growth mode. But here's the empowering truth. You can reverse this. You can give your brain what it needs to perform at its highest level. Start with the basics. High-quality sleep to allow for cellular repair. Clean, nutrient-rich foods to fuel neurotransmitter production. Regular physical movement to increase blood flow and oxygen delivery to brain cells. These aren't luxury habits. They are the non-negotiables of a healthy mind. When you protect your brain, you protect your capacity to think clearly, feel deeply, and act decisively. And it's not just about avoiding damage, it's about building strength. Just as lifting weights strengthens your muscles, challenging your brain strengthens its capacity. Reading deeply instead of scrolling mindlessly, learning a new skill, practicing mindfulness, these are mental workouts. Over time, they create resilience, helping you stay calm under pressure, focused in chaos, and optimistic in uncertainty. The brain also responds to your inner dialogue. If your thoughts are constantly self-critical or fear-driven, your brain's chemistry begins to reflect that. But if you feed it thoughts of curiosity, problem-solving, and gratitude, you literally rewire it for more constructive, empowering responses. That's why improving brain health isn't just physical, it's mental and emotional. So if you want a healthy mind, stop trying to fix your thoughts without fixing the organ that generates them. Think of it this way. You wouldn't try to get clean water from a rusty, polluted pipe. You'd clean and repair the pipe first. The brain is that pipe for your thoughts. The clearer and stronger it is, the purer and more powerful your thinking becomes. Your brain is the starting point. Treat it with the respect it deserves, and it will repay you with clarity, resilience, and peace of mind. Activities that damage our brain without us noticing. The dangerous thing about brain damage in everyday life is that it doesn't announce itself with alarms or sudden pain. It's subtle. It creeps in through habits we've normalized, choices we make without thinking, and lifestyles that feel normal because everyone else is living the same way. But normal doesn't mean healthy, and when it comes to your brain, the cost of ignoring these silent threats can be enormous. One of the most overlooked culprits is chronic stress. We've been conditioned to wear stress like a badge of honor, as if being constantly busy and overwhelmed proves we're important or successful. But your brain doesn't see it that way. To your brain, chronic stress means danger. It floods your system with cortisol, a hormone that, in small doses, helps you survive, but in constant doses, literally shrinks the hippocampus, the part of your brain responsible for memory and learning. It also damages the prefrontal cortex, the area you use for decision-making and self-control. This is why people under long-term stress often make worse choices, have trouble focusing, and struggle to regulate their emotions. Then there's sleep deprivation, a modern epidemic so common we treat it like a personality trait. "I'll sleep when I'm dead" has become a joke, but the truth is, chronic lack of sleep brings you closer to that reality faster than you think. Your brain uses sleep to flush out toxins that build up during the day. Without enough of it, these toxins accumulate, leading to inflammation, impaired cognition, and higher risk of neurodegenerative diseases. Even missing just 1 or 2 hours of your needed sleep can affect your reaction time, mood, and ability to learn. Over weeks, months, or years, the damage compounds. Our diet plays a massive role too. It's easy to think about food in terms of weight gain or loss, but what you eat is literally the raw material your brain uses to create neurotransmitters, the chemicals that control your mood, focus, and motivation. Diets high in processed sugar, refined carbs, and unhealthy fats feed inflammation and oxidative stress in the brain, slowing down communication between neurons. Over time, it's like running your brain on cheap fuel. It will keep moving, but it won't perform at its best, and it will wear down faster. Another quiet threat is digital overstimulation, endless notifications, constant scrolling, switching between apps, and binge-watching shows until our eyes blur. All of it rewires the brain to expect quick, shallow bursts of dopamine. This makes it harder to focus on deep, meaningful work and easier to feel bored or restless when things aren't instantly stimulating. Over time, your attention span shortens, your patience shrinks, and your brain becomes addicted to the quick hit rather than the long-term reward. And then there's something even more subtle, toxic self-talk. Every time you tell yourself, "I'm not good enough, I can't do this," or "I'll probably fail," your brain takes it as instruction. Repeated negative thoughts strengthen neural pathways that make those thoughts easier to access in the future, locking you into patterns of self-doubt and fear. The damage isn't visible on a scan, but it's real, and it shapes the life you live. Of course, there are also the obvious lifestyle habits we already know hurt the brain: smoking, excessive drinking, sedentary living. But the reason many people never change them is because they underestimate the brain's fragility. They think, "It's just one drink. It's just one night without sleep. It's just a bit of stress." But small damages, repeated daily, are far more dangerous than a single big event. They build up slowly, quietly, until one day you realize your focus is gone, your memory isn't sharp, and your motivation feels like it's dried up. The good news is that awareness is the first step to change. Once you start recognizing these silent, brain-damaging habits, you can begin to replace them with choices that strengthen and protect your mind. You can't stop every challenge life throws at you, but you can control how much unnecessary harm you allow into your own brain. Your brain is too valuable to be left on autopilot. Pay attention to the daily choices that shape it, because those choices will eventually shape your life. Why are we the unhappiest generation? We live in an age where comfort is everywhere. With one tap on a screen, food arrives at our door. With one click, entertainment floods our eyes and ears. With one post, we can receive attention from hundreds of people we've never met. By historical standards, we have more wealth, more convenience, and more access to information than any generation before us. And yet, despite all of this, rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness are at record highs. The question almost forces itself. How can a society surrounded by abundance feel so empty? Part of the answer lies in the difference between comfort and fulfillment. Comfort is easy. It's instant gratification, the quick dopamine hit that feels good for a moment and leaves you wanting more. Fulfillment, on the other hand, takes effort. It comes from struggle, from purpose, from building something meaningful over time. We've designed a world that gives us endless comfort, but strips away many of the natural challenges that once gave life meaning. Think about it. In the past, people's survival depended on community, physical work, and deep bonds with others. Today, we can survive without ever leaving our homes or knowing our neighbors. Technology connects us to the world, but it also isolates us from real human presence. Social media creates the illusion of connection, but what it often delivers is comparison, envy, and the subtle pressure to perform happiness instead of experiencing it. There's also the issue of information overload. Our brains were never built to process the sheer volume of news, opinions, and images we're exposed to every day. Constant exposure to global crises, tragedies, and conflicts can make the world feel overwhelmingly dangerous, even if our immediate surroundings are safe. This chronic stress wears down our mental resilience, leaving us anxious and hopeless about problems we can't directly control. Then there's the paradox of choice. With more options for careers, relationships, lifestyles, and even hobbies than ever before, you'd think we'd be happier. But the reality is, too many choices often lead to paralysis, regret, and the nagging feeling that we're missing out on something better. Every decision becomes a source of anxiety. Did I choose the right job, the right partner, the right city? And because we can see the highlights of everyone else's choices online, we're constantly reminded of paths we didn't take. Another factor is the erosion of meaning. Many people live without a clear sense of purpose. Work feels like a grind, relationships feel shallow, and personal growth gets lost in the chaos of daily distractions. Without meaning, even the most comfortable life can feel empty. This is where the Stoics were far ahead of their time. They understood that happiness isn't the absence of hardship, but the presence of purpose. A life with meaning can endure discomfort and still feel rich. A life without meaning, no matter how comfortable, eventually feels hollow. And then, perhaps most importantly, we've lost the ability to be present. Our attention is constantly pulled to what's next, what's missing, or what might go wrong. We rarely sit with a single moment long enough to feel it fully. The irony is that happiness often hides in the smallest details: a warm drink on a cold morning, laughter with a friend, the quiet after a long day. But we miss them because our minds are somewhere else. So why are we the unhappiest generation? Because we've built a world that feeds the body with endless comfort but starves the mind of meaning. Because we've replaced deep connection with digital simulation. Because we've trained our brains to expect constant stimulation, leaving no space for peace, and because we've mistaken convenience for happiness, the solution isn't to reject modern life, it's to live in it consciously, to use technology without letting it use us, to seek purpose instead of just pleasure, to slow down enough to notice the moments that matter. Happiness isn't found in having everything. It's found in valuing what you have and aligning it with who you want to be. If we can relearn that truth, we can become not just the most advanced generation, but also the most fulfilled. Did you experience childhood trauma? Many of the struggles we face in adulthood don't begin in adulthood at all. They begin in the quiet shadows of our earliest years, long before we had the language to describe what we were feeling. Childhood trauma isn't always the dramatic, obvious events we see in movies. Sometimes it's the subtle wounds, the moments you felt unseen, unheard, or unworthy. It's the way your parents argued when they thought you weren't listening. It's the way love felt conditional, depending on your grades, your behavior, or your ability to meet someone else's expectations. It's the absence of safety, even in a home that looked fine from the outside. The reason this matters for our brain and mental health is simple. The brain is built in layers, and the earliest layers form when we're children. During those years, our nervous system is still learning what normal feels like. If your childhood taught you that normal means chaos, unpredictability, or neglect, your brain wires itself to expect those patterns. Even decades later, your mind and body can stay stuck in survival mode, hyper-alert, mistrustful, and always bracing for the next threat, even when no danger is present. Research shows that early trauma changes the architecture of the brain. It can shrink the hippocampus, making it harder to regulate emotions and form clear memories. It can overactivate the amygdala, the brain's fear center, making anxiety your default state. It can weaken the prefrontal cortex, which you need for decision-making, self-control, and problem-solving. This is why people who've experienced childhood trauma often struggle with emotional regulation, chronic stress, and even physical health problems later in life. But trauma isn't just about what happened to you. It's also about what you didn't get. Maybe you didn't experience physical harm, but you lacked emotional warmth. Maybe no one encouraged you to dream, to try, to believe you mattered. That absence can be just as damaging as direct harm because it leaves you without the internal blueprint for love, trust, and self-worth. Here's the thing most people misunderstand. Trauma doesn't mean you're broken beyond repair. It means your brain adapted to protect you in a difficult environment. Those adaptations, like shutting down emotionally, avoiding conflict, or being hypervigilant, once kept you safe. The problem is, as an adult, they can hold you back from the life you want. You might find yourself overreacting to small things, struggling to trust people, or feeling an underlying sadness you can't explain. The good news is that the same neuroplasticity that allowed your brain to adapt to trauma can help it heal. Healing doesn't erase the past, but it can rewrite the way your brain responds to the present. It can teach your nervous system that it's safe now, that you don't have to live in constant defense mode. Practices like mindfulness, therapy, journaling, and safe relationships can slowly rewire your brain, building new pathways of trust, calm, and self-compassion. The Stoics understood this long before neuroscience could explain it. They believed that while you cannot control the events that shaped you, you can control the meaning you give them. Epictetus, born into slavery, could have lived his life defined by his early suffering. Instead, he became one of history's most influential philosophers, by turning his pain into wisdom. This is the essence of post-traumatic growth, using what once hurt you as fuel for your strength, clarity, and purpose. If you recognize that childhood trauma might still be influencing your life today, don't see it as a weakness. See it as an opportunity to reclaim your mind. The very fact that you're aware of it means you've already taken the first step toward breaking the cycle. It means you're ready to stop letting the past dictate your future. You can't change how your story began, but you can absolutely decide how it continues. And when you start healing those old wounds, you're not just helping your brain function better, you're giving yourself the freedom to live a life driven by choice, not by fear. Accurate thinking versus positive thinking. We live in a culture obsessed with positivity. Scroll through social media and you'll find endless quotes telling you to just think happy thoughts, manifest your dreams, or stay positive no matter what. While there's nothing wrong with optimism, the problem comes when positivity is used as a mask, a way to avoid reality instead of dealing with it. This is where accurate thinking becomes essential. Accurate thinking is the ability to see things as they truly are, not worse than they are, and not unrealistically better. It means you're willing to face the facts without sugarcoating them, but also without spiraling into despair. It's the discipline of separating what's real from what's imagined, and what's possible from what's fantasy. And when it comes to healing your body and mind, accurate thinking is far more powerful than blind positivity. Imagine you're struggling with burnout. Positive thinking might tell you, "Everything's fine, I just need to push through." Accurate thinking will tell you, "I'm exhausted, my habits aren't sustainable, and I need to make changes before this gets worse." The first approach ignores the problem. The second approach acknowledges it and opens the door to a solution. The Stoics mastered this balance. They didn't believe in lying to themselves about life's hardships. Marcus Aurelius didn't write in his journal that life was always wonderful. He wrote about pain, loss, and betrayal. But he also reminded himself to look for what was within his control and to act on it. This is the essence of accurate thinking. See reality clearly, then focus on what you can do to improve it. The danger of blind positivity is that it can become a form of denial. You tell yourself you're happy in a toxic relationship instead of admitting it's draining you. You convince yourself your job is good enough while your mental health collapses. You repeat affirmations every morning while ignoring the habits that keep you stuck. This isn't strength, it's self-deception, and self-deception always comes with a cost. On the other hand, accurate thinking requires courage. It forces you to confront uncomfortable truths, that your diet might be harming your brain, that your phone addiction is killing your focus, that your stress levels are unsustainable. These realizations can be painful, but they are also the beginning of change. You can't fix what you refuse to see. This doesn't mean you should abandon hope or optimism. In fact, accurate thinking and positive thinking work best together, but in the right order. First, see things clearly. Then, once you understand the reality, apply optimism to take constructive action. For example, "I'm not in the shape I want to be in right now, but I have the ability to change my habits and improve." That statement is both accurate and empowering. Your brain thrives in environments where truth and hope coexist. Truth keeps you grounded, hope keeps you moving. One without the other is incomplete. All truth and no hope can leave you feeling defeated. All hope and no truth can leave you chasing illusions. But when you combine them, you create a mindset that can handle anything life throws at you. accurate thinking also protects you from manipulation. In a world full of marketing, fake news, and curated online lives, being able to separate fact from fiction is a survival skill. It stops you from buying into quick fixes that promise instant healing or happiness. It teaches you to question your assumptions, verify your sources, and make decisions based on reality, not emotion. When it comes to healing your mind and body, accurate thinking is the foundation. It tells you when you're genuinely improving and when you're just pretending. It helps you recognize the small daily wins that build momentum and the setbacks you need to address before they grow. It keeps you from drifting into self-pity and also from floating into delusion. So the next time you're tempted to just think positive, pause, ask yourself, am I being hopeful or am I avoiding the truth? What's the reality here? What can I do today to make it better? That's accurate thinking. And it's the kind of thinking that leads not just to a good mood, but to real, lasting healing. Love food that loves you back. Every cell in your body is built from the food you eat. Your brain, the very organ that controls your thoughts, emotions, and decisions, is made up of the fats, proteins, vitamins, and minerals you consume. This means that every bite you take is either helping your mind heal and function at its peak, or quietly damaging it. If you truly want a healthy body and mind, you have to start seeing food not just as calories or comfort, but as the most intimate form of self-care you practice every single day. Most people approach eating in one of two ways, either as a source of pleasure with little thought to its consequences, or as a set of restrictions designed to control weight. Both of these approaches miss the bigger picture. The right food doesn't just help you maintain a certain body shape. It directly influences your mood, your focus, your energy levels, and even your ability to handle stress. In other words, what you eat determines how you feel, think, and respond to the world. The brain, despite making up only about 2% of your body weight, consumes around 20% of your energy. It's a hungry organ, and it runs best on high-quality fuel. That means foods rich in healthy fats like omega-3s, which strengthen cell membranes and improve communication between neurons. It means proteins that provide the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that regulate mood and motivation. It means complex carbohydrates that release energy steadily, instead of the quick spikes and crashes caused by refined sugar. Unfortunately, the modern diet is filled with foods that actively harm the brain. Processed snacks, fried fast food, sugary drinks. They may satisfy a craving in the moment, but they inflame your body, disrupt your blood sugar, and impair brain function. Over time, this leads to slower thinking, lower mood, and increased risk of mental health disorders. It's not just about avoiding disease decades from now. It's about how sharp, calm, and energized you feel today. The Stoics may not have had access to nutritional science, but they understood moderation and intentionality in consumption. They knew that overindulgence dulls the mind, while discipline in eating keeps the body and spirit in harmony. Seneca warned against living for the pleasure of the table, because pleasure without awareness often turns into dependency. The lesson is clear. Eat with purpose, not just impulse. Loving food that loves you back doesn't mean never enjoying dessert or your favorite comfort meal. It means making your foundation strong, filling most of your plate with foods that give back to your body instead of draining it. Think fresh vegetables bursting with antioxidants, fruits that deliver natural sweetness alongside fiber and vitamins, nuts and seeds that offer minerals your brain needs to function, fish like salmon or sardines, loaded with omega-3s that protect against cognitive decline. Even simple hydration, clean water, is one of the most underrated brain boosters there is. The relationship you have with food mirrors the relationship you have with yourself. When you consistently feed your body low-quality, inflammatory food, you're telling yourself, even unconsciously, that your health isn't a priority. But when you choose nutrient-dense, life-giving meals, you send the opposite message. I care about my future, my energy, my clarity. You reinforce self-respect with every bite. If you've been eating in a way that leaves you feeling sluggish, bloated, or mentally foggy, don't see it as failure. See it as feedback. Your body is telling you something isn't working. Start small. Replace one processed snack with a whole food alternative. Add an extra serving of vegetables to your lunch. Swap soda for water or herbal tea. These tiny changes compound over time, creating a noticeable shift in your mental sharpness and emotional stability. Healing your body and mind isn't about perfection, it's about consistency. Every meal is an opportunity to either nourish your brain or burden it. Choose the foods that love you back, and you'll feel the difference, not just in your body, but in the way you think, focus, and handle life's challenges. Targeted nutrients to boost happiness. Once you understand that food is more than just fuel, that it's chemistry shaping your brain and emotions, the next step is to get intentional. It's not enough to simply eat healthy in a vague sense. If you want to actively boost your mood, sharpen your thinking, and support long-term mental health, you need to give your brain the exact nutrients it needs to thrive. Happiness isn't just a feeling that appears out of nowhere. It's a chemical state your brain creates. And those chemicals are built from the raw materials you feed it. One of the most important players here is omega-3 fatty acids, found in fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, and sardines, as well as flax seeds and walnuts. Omega-3s are critical for brain cell structure and function, and research shows they help reduce symptoms of depression and anxiety. They also improve communication between neurons, which means your thoughts can flow more smoothly and your emotions can be regulated more effectively. Without enough omega-3s, your brain's wiring literally becomes less efficient. Next is B vitamins, particularly B6, B12, and folate. These are essential for producing neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and GABA, the chemicals responsible for mood stability, motivation, and relaxation. Deficiencies in B vitamins are linked to fatigue, irritability, and even cognitive decline. You can find them in foods like leafy greens, eggs, legumes, and lean meats. If you've been feeling persistently low in energy or mood, it's worth considering whether your B vitamin intake is adequate. Magnesium is another nutrient with a powerful effect on mood and stress. Known as nature's relaxant, magnesium helps regulate the nervous system, supports sleep quality, and plays a role in over 300 biochemical processes in the body, many of which influence mental well-being. Foods rich in magnesium include almonds, pumpkin seeds, spinach, and dark chocolate. In fact, cravings for chocolate can sometimes be your body's way of asking for magnesium. We also can't ignore vitamin D, often called the sunshine vitamin, because your body produces it in response to sunlight. Low vitamin D levels are strongly linked to seasonal depression and other mood disorders. Spending time outdoors, even for just 15 to 20 minutes a day, can help, as can eating vitamin D-rich foods like salmon, egg yolks, and fortified dairy. In many cases, supplementation is necessary, especially if you live in a place with long winters or limited sun exposure. Then there's tryptophan, an amino acid found in foods like turkey, chicken, bananas, and oats. Your body uses tryptophan to make serotonin, one of the brain's most important mood-regulating chemicals. Pairing tryptophan-rich foods with healthy carbs helps your body absorb it more effectively, which is why something as simple as oatmeal with banana can be a surprisingly mood-friendly breakfast. And while we often focus on what to add, it's equally important to know what to limit. Inflammatory foods, like refined sugars, trans fats, and excessive alcohol, disrupt neurotransmitter balance and spike stress hormones. Over time, they can make it harder for your brain to maintain a stable mood, no matter how many good nutrients you add in. Think of it like tending a garden. Planting beautiful flowers is pointless if you're also pouring toxins into the soil. The Stoics might not have spoken about omega-3s or vitamin D, but they did understand the principle of preparation. They knew that if you wanted to live with clarity and purpose, you needed to prepare your mind and body for the challenges of life. Today, targeted nutrition is part of that preparation. It's not vanity, it's strategy. You don't have to become obsessive or overhaul your entire diet overnight. Start by identifying one or two nutrients you might be lacking and make a deliberate effort to include them daily. Keep it simple. A handful of walnuts in the afternoon, a piece of salmon twice a week, a short walk in the sun each morning. These small, intentional actions create a foundation for long-term mental stability and happiness. Happiness isn't magic, it's biology. And when you give your brain the right building blocks, you make it easier for that biology to work in your favor. Nourish it well, and it will repay you with focus, resilience, and a deeper sense of peace. Focus on the micro moments of happiness. When people talk about happiness, they often imagine it as a big event, a life-changing achievement, a dream vacation, the perfect relationship. We tend to place happiness somewhere in the future, a grand moment that will finally make everything feel complete. But the truth is, life is made of small moments, and if you can't find happiness in them, you will struggle to find it anywhere. The brain learns what to value based on what you give your attention to, and if you only focus on the big wins, you miss the thousands of tiny wins happening every day. These micro moments of happiness aren't dramatic, but they are powerful. It could be the first sip of coffee in the morning, the warmth of sunlight on your face, a song that stirs a forgotten memory, or the laugh of someone you love. It's the satisfaction of finishing a task you've been putting off, the relief of taking off your shoes after a long day, the comfort of fresh sheets on your bed. These are not meaningless details. They are the building blocks of emotional resilience. The reason they matter so much is rooted in neuroscience. Every time you pause to notice and appreciate a positive experience, your brain strengthens the neural pathways associated with joy and gratitude. Over time, this makes it easier for you to feel good, even in the middle of stress. The opposite is also true. If you only focus on what's wrong, your brain strengthens pathways for frustration, resentment, and anxiety. In other words, you train your mind every day. The question is, what are you training it to see? The Stoics understood this long before brain scans existed. They taught that we should find contentment not in the absence of problems, but in the ability to recognize what's good even when life is imperfect. Epictetus wrote, "He's a wise man who does not grieve for the things which he has not, but rejoices for those which he has." This wasn't a call to settle for less. It was a reminder that gratitude is a form of mental discipline. The challenge in today's world is that we are constantly distracted. Our phones, our to-do lists, our endless stream of notifications. They pull us away from the present moment and into a state of constant anticipation. We are always waiting for the next thing, and in that waiting, we overlook the beauty of what's right here. It's not that the micro moments aren't happening, it's that we're too busy to notice them. You can start shifting this by building small rituals of presence into your day. Take a few seconds to really taste your food instead of rushing through it. Pause before starting your car to notice the quiet. Step outside for just one deep breath of fresh air between tasks. These moments don't need to be long to be meaningful. They just need to be intentional. You can also train your mind to look for them. At the end of each day, ask yourself, what was one good thing that happened today? It doesn't have to be extraordinary. Maybe a stranger held the door for you. Maybe you heard a song you haven't heard in years. Maybe you had a moment of silence that felt like a deep breath for your soul. Writing these down or speaking them out loud reinforces their importance in your mind. Here's the shift that happens when you focus on micro moments. Happiness stops being something you chase and starts being something you create. You stop waiting for the perfect life to feel joy and start seeing joy as a daily choice. And when the big challenges come, because they will, you already have the mental habit of finding light in the dark. Healing your body and mind isn't only about removing what's harmful, it's also about adding what's nourishing. And while targeted nutrients fuel your brain chemically, micro moments of happiness fuel it emotionally. Together, they create a foundation that keeps you steady, no matter what storms you face. Brain and mental health is a daily practice. One of the biggest mistakes people make when it comes to mental health is treating it like an emergency repair job. They wait until they're completely burned out, until anxiety is consuming them, until their focus is gone, and only then do they start thinking about how to take care of their mind. But your brain is not a machine you can run into the ground and then expect to fix with a weekend off or a single meditation session. Mental health is not an occasional activity, it's a daily practice, a lifestyle that you commit to just as consistently as brushing your teeth or eating your meals. Think about physical fitness. You wouldn't expect to be strong and healthy if you worked out once every few months. You wouldn't eat a single salad and assume your nutrition was handled for the year. The same principle applies to your brain. Your mental resilience, focus, and emotional balance are built in the small, repeated actions you take every day. And just like with physical training, the results are cumulative. They come from consistency, not from intensity alone. A daily mental health practice doesn't need to be complicated, but it does need to be intentional. It can include things like getting adequate sleep, moving your body, eating brain-healthy foods, practicing mindfulness, learning something new, and taking breaks from screens. It also means setting boundaries, protecting your time, your energy, and your attention from people and situations that drain you. Every one of these actions is a deposit into your mental health bank account. Skip them long enough, and you'll find yourself in emotional debt. The Stoics knew this well. Marcus Aurelius didn't write his meditations once and call it a day. He wrote daily, reflecting on his thoughts, his actions, and the principles he wanted to live by. Seneca reminded himself constantly to prepare for adversity, not because he was pessimistic, but because he knew preparation was the key to peace. They treated mental discipline as a habit, not a reaction to hardship. In the modern world, this discipline is even more critical. We are bombarded with distractions and stresses that past generations never faced. If you don't actively train your brain to stay healthy, the default environment will pull you into anxiety, overwhelm, and mental fatigue. This is why daily practice matters so much. It keeps you in control, even when life gets chaotic. A good place to start is by creating a mental health baseline, a set of non-negotiable habits you do every day, no matter what. For some people, that might mean 30 minutes of exercise, a morning gratitude journal, and reading something inspiring before bed. For others, it might be a short meditation, preparing a nourishing breakfast, and a daily walk outdoors. The specific actions matter less than the consistency behind them. Your brain thrives on patterns, and the more you reinforce healthy ones, the more automatic they become. This isn't about perfection. You don't need to get it right every single day. Life will happen. You'll miss a workout, eat a less than ideal meal, skip your journal. What matters is that you don't let a single missed day turn into a missed week, then a missed month. The key is to reset quickly, to return to your baseline before you drift too far. The payoff of treating mental health as a daily practice is enormous. Over time, you'll find that your stress threshold increases. Things that used to overwhelm you will barely register. Your focus will sharpen, your decision-making will improve, and your mood will stabilize. And perhaps most importantly, you'll start to feel like you're living life on your own terms, instead of being constantly thrown around by circumstances. Your brain is the most important investment you will ever make. Treat it like it matters every single day, and it will reward you with clarity, resilience, and a deep sense of peace. Not once in a while, but as your natural state. Seek happiness in the context of health. One of the most common mistakes people make is chasing happiness as if it exists in isolation, as if you can feel truly joyful while ignoring the state of your body or neglecting the health of your mind. We treat happiness like it's a prize we can win through external achievements, possessions, or relationships, forgetting that it's actually a byproduct of how well our inner systems are functioning. You can't expect to feel light and peaceful if your body is exhausted, inflamed, and deprived of what it needs. You can't expect mental clarity if your brain is overloaded, undernourished, and constantly under stress. True happiness can't be separated from health, because they are deeply inseparably connected. The modern world has made it easy to fake happiness. You can post a smiling photo online, tell people you're doing great, and distract yourself with temporary pleasures. But deep down, you know the truth. If your energy is low, if your body aches, if your mind feels heavy and foggy, no amount of external validation can sustain your joy. The body will always speak, and if you don't listen, it will speak louder. The connection between health and happiness is backed by science. Physical activity increases endorphins and dopamine, lifting your mood naturally. Nutrient-rich foods improve neurotransmitter function, making emotional stability easier to maintain. Quality sleep allows your brain to process emotions and repair itself, reducing anxiety and irritability. Even something as simple as staying hydrated can improve focus and mood. Your emotional state isn't just mental, it's chemical, hormonal, and deeply tied to how well your body's systems are working. The Stoics understood this in their own way. While they didn't have our modern medical knowledge, they saw the body as a vessel for the mind and believed in caring for it with discipline. Epictetus spoke of keeping the body trained so that it could serve the mind in the pursuit of virtue. They recognized that neglecting the body wasn't noble, it was sabotage. If your physical health is weak, it's harder to live in accordance with your values, to meet challenges with courage, or to maintain peace under pressure. This doesn't mean health has to be about perfection or extremes. You don't need to run marathons, lift heavy weights every day, or eat a flawless diet to align your health with your happiness. What matters is balance and consistency. Moving your body in ways you enjoy. Eating food that gives you energy rather than stealing it. Sleeping enough to wake up feeling restored. Taking time to rest and recover before burnout forces you to stop. It also means rejecting the false idea that happiness is something you can earn only after you've achieved perfect health. Waiting until you lose weight, until you're in peak shape, or until you've broken every bad habit before. Allowing yourself joy is a trap. Health is a journey, not a finish line, and happiness should travel alongside it, growing as you grow, deepening as you improve. The key is to see them as partners, each one fueling the other. Better health makes happiness more accessible, and genuine happiness makes it easier to maintain healthy habits. The reverse is also true. When you ignore your health, happiness becomes fragile. You might feel good for a day or a week, but the moment stress hits or fatigue sets in, your mood collapses. Health gives happiness roots. It makes it resilient against the storms of life. Without it, joy is like a balloon in the wind. It floats away the second circumstances change. So, if you want to be happy, start with the basics. Move your body, feed it well, rest deeply, and care for your mind. Don't separate your pursuit of happiness from your pursuit of health. Make them one path. When you do, happiness stops being something you chase and becomes something you carry with you, no matter where you go or what challenges you face. Everything we've talked about in this episode comes down to one truth. Your body and mind are not separate worlds. They are two sides of the same life, and the health of one always shapes the health of the other. If you want a sharp mind, you have to care for the brain that powers it. If you want a resilient body, you have to feed it with thoughts and emotions that strengthen instead of weaken it. Healing isn't about chasing a single breakthrough moment. It's about the quiet, consistent choices you make every day, the ones that compound into a stronger, calmer, and more vibrant life. You now know the hidden forces that can damage your brain without you even realizing it. The stress you've normalized, the sleep you've sacrificed, the distractions you've allowed to steal your focus. You've seen how our modern world, for all its comforts, has made us more restless and disconnected, and how unresolved pain from your past can still echo in your present. You've learned that thinking clearly isn't about blind positivity, but about facing reality with accuracy and then moving forward with hope. We've talked about loving food that loves you back, fueling your brain and body with the nutrients that support happiness rather than harm it. We've looked at how targeted nutrition, from omega-3s to vitamin D, can literally build the chemical foundation for joy. We've explored the micro moments, those tiny flashes of beauty and peace in your day, and how they train your brain to see life as worth living, even when challenges come. You've seen that mental and brain health is not a one-time project, but a daily practice. A commitment to yourself that you honor every single day, even in the smallest actions. And we've ended with a truth too often forgotten. Happiness is not separate from health. It is woven into it. You cannot neglect your body and expect your mind to flourish. You cannot ignore your mind and expect your body to thrive. The Stoics knew that we don't control everything life throws at us. But we always control how we prepare for it. And preparation isn't built in the heat of the moment. It's built in the quiet mornings, the intentional meals, the mindful breaths, the moments you choose presence over distraction, discipline over impulse, self-respect over neglect. So the real question now is, what will you do today? Not next week. Not when things settle down. Today, what is one action you can take to love your brain, your body, and your life more deeply? Maybe it's getting to bed on time. Maybe it's swapping one processed snack for something that nourishes you. Maybe it's turning off your phone and stepping outside just to breathe. The healing you're looking for isn't somewhere far away. It's right here, in the decisions you make before the sun sets. If you can commit to showing up for your health every day, even in small ways, the results will come. You'll feel them in your energy, see them in your focus, and carry them in your ability to stay grounded no matter what life brings. Your mind and body are the foundation for everything you want to be and everything you want to do. Treat them with the respect they deserve, and they will give you a life not just of health, but of real, lasting happiness. So start now, heal now, live now.